It's good to see you people here, young and old, and glad you stand here with us at this time. Thank you.
Welcome to Understory, this last day of March 2021. I'm Elizabeth Poe. Action on climate change is not a spectator sport. Yesterday, the first group from Extinction Rebellion, arrested in civil disobedience actions last week, faced court. They each received a fixed penalty of $100, with $130 in court costs. More cases from their autumn rebellion are on the way. Some rebels who were kept out of the city by restrictive bail conditions last week simply headed out of Perth CBD to Duma House, home of state government ministers, to confirm their call for zero carbon emissions by 2025. The first day of Extinction Rebellion protests last week were big and dramatic, with hundreds of people making their way up Barrack Street in solidarity with Noongar elders, with a moving welcome to country smoking ceremony, and a staged die-in of grandparents and others committed to highlighting climate inaction. Our program last Wednesday brought you some of the younger voices. Today on Understory, Adrian Glamorgan brings you interviews with a number of grandparents who last week rose up for the climate emergency and species extinction, so we can hear, in protesters' own words, why they were willing to disrupt business as usual on the terrace and so face arrest and fines.
My name's Heath Greville. I'm a public health researcher at University of WA, and I'm a member of Extinction Rebellion now for nearly 2 years. And what I'm planning to do today is walk up Barrack Street with my comrades, and after a short smoking ceremony, we're going to enter the road and do a die-in. So that's where everybody lies down and pretends to be dead, because that we think is a strong visual message about the existential crisis, life and death crisis that we're facing. So that kind of theatre is very much part of what Extinction Rebellion does. And then I'll be expected to move, and I will refuse to move to prolong the disruption of blocking the intersection, and also to show the sacrifice I'm prepared to make, which would be my third arrest, fines, time in court. It just sounds like a lot of business that a lot of people don't want to go through, but that's, to me, having looked at the science, that's how urgent this situation is, Adrian.
What about, I can see a lot of bubbles being blown by children. I guess you've got children in mind, haven't you?
I've got three little baby grandchildren, all born in the last 9 months, actually. And I think about them. They didn't bring this crisis upon themselves. They are virtually not in any position to do anything. By the time they're adults, we will already be probably standing here on Riverside Drive. We will probably actually be knee-deep in water. That's the reality of the sea level rise we're facing. And Adrian, this is the Department of Meteorology figures. This isn't me going to some dark corner of the internet and finding some, you know, crank thing. This is Department of Meteorology, Department of Water Resources, Department of Agriculture, NASA, the National Aeronautic and Science Administration in the USA. This is their data.
We're losing 10 football fields of forest a day, about 4 hectares of wetlands a day. But it's also a public health issue, isn't it, climate change? Can you explain that?
Public health is when we're looking at health of whole populations. So I do recommend people read the WA Climate Health Report. It's easy to Google. And it's got a whole chapter or two or three on this. So heat stress is a public health issue. We're going to have more frequent heat waves and less time between them. So vulnerable people, young kids, pregnant women, elderly, are more likely to have heat stress affected health problems.
Like heart attacks.
Like heart attacks, exactly. And especially heart attacks and strokes. So they'll become more frequent based on climate change.
The Climate Health Western Australian Inquiry, led by Dr. Tarun Wiramanthri, brought out its final report late last year, and their science-based findings are sobering. Confirmation of what environmentalists have been warning about for 3 decades. Western Australia has witnessed a steady decline in rainfall in the southwest, a drying interior, lengthening fire season, exposure to cyclones and extreme weather events, and a rate of sea level rise almost three times the global average.
There'll be mosquito-borne diseases. So because the climate's shifting, more mosquito-borne diseases are going to come south as it gets a little bit more tropical down this end. There will be a lot of mental health issues, and I suppose that's one of the strong emphases in the WA Climate Health Report, is talking about mental health, that this is a crisis of absolutely human existence, and you don't go through that without serious mental health issues.
Well, I noticed that Extinction Rebellion puts a heavy emphasis on taking care of activists by addressing the question. As we become more aware of the climate changes and the enormity of it, we do need some support, circles of love, circles of trust with each other, in that way, I suppose.
I love the way you said that, circles of love and circles of trust, absolutely. We want to be the change we want to see, so we don't go into these actions full of rage and antagonism and aggression. We're very strictly non-violent. We do training in non-violence to teach ourselves how to not get escalated, how to not escalate other people. It's hard, it's difficult. And I think, you know, if we go into these actions recognizing we're here for connection to our kids, our grandchildren, to all of life, you know, every morning I hear the birds and I think, how much longer are they going to be here? How much longer are they? We know the Carnaby's cockatoos are threatened, but they're just the tip of the iceberg. So we're here for all of life on Earth, and that sense of love and connection is very much something that we are trying to cultivate in Extinction Rebellion for the strength of our movement, for the regeneration of our activists, to create the society we want to see, and to show how important this issue is. We need different values.
The Climate Health Report says that the next 9 years are vital to address irreversible climate risk, though we can expect different environmental and health impacts across our state regions. Apart from prevention, our adaptation needs strengthening. Climate risk must be managed at all levels, and we're going to need good governance, clear metrics, and broad partnerships to sustain change over time. The Climate Health Report also says a sustainable health system depends on our taking action. A major concern is the connections between climate change and health, between physical and mental health, and between vulnerability and resilience. All these need reinforcing. The benefits of change far outweigh costs when health is factored in. Finally, Aboriginal stewardship is as vital now as in our past. People from all walks of life were arrested last week at the Extinction Rebellion Challenge to Climate Business as Usual down St George's Terrace.
I'm Vic, and this is my wife Val.
Hi.
This is our first appearance at one of these things. We've talked about getting involved before. We've come from Mandurah on the train today, so this is our first effort. So we just want to see, just help really, and be as effective as we can. Go on.
Can I just add to that at advancing age, it's you need to feel like you can do something. And I think children and grandchildren and beyond that, we need to leave them something that's worth living in. And it really concerns me that not enough is being done fast enough. And that's one reason why we've come up today, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And hopefully his hip will hold out.
Well, I see you've got a walking stick.
Yeah. Don't like me saying, but he's 76, and you know, this just, it's painful, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's worth it. We need to do it, so that's why we're here.
We feel that the politicians are doing very little, if anything. In fact, I think some of them are working against it. But you know, if they're not doing anything, then people like myself and Val and just the regular people that are here, we've got to do something. Just make the politicians aware. That's the only thing we can do.
Have you thought much about corporate donations by mining companies, fossil fuel companies, to both major political parties? Is that a concern for you in the way our democracy works?
Yes. It's a slur on democracy. It undermines democracy. I'm hesitant to call it corruption, but somehow sometimes that's how it appears to me. Yeah, I believe that, yeah. But that's just a personal belief. I have no proof of this.
Alleged, yeah. No, I agree. I think donations from any influencing group, lobbying of any kind like that, you know, it does get in the way of pure what's right for the people. And so that does concern me, yes.
Val, what was the moment you decided to stop being a mild-mannered older person and be a little bit more upfront in what you believe and where you put your beliefs?
Yeah, well, I mean, you do all the things that you can do as a mild-mannered person. You write to your MP, you sign petitions, and that's great, and we will still do that. And we have been on marches. We were in the UK and we're over here, and we do support marches, but it just feels like it's just not enough. And so when did we decide to do this?
Well, finally, about 3-4 days ago.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, we thought this has to be the time to do more, and so that's why
we're still able.
What would you say to the Premier, Mark McGowan, about what the new Environment and Climate Action Minister should be doing?
Yeah, I've already messaged her because it's great to see a climate action portfolio included in the Environment Ministry now. I think he's great, Mark McGowan, and I would like to see him use what they have, the leverage, to make some real positive steps forward. And I'm hoping that this new portfolio in the Environment Ministry will help to do that.
I'm wondering, with Labor having a majority in both houses, whatever we get this next term is what Labor is and ever can be.
I'm a little concerned, but I do have faith in them. I just hope they need to stop. You know, we were living down south, and we don't want to see fracking, and we don't want to see liquid gas. It's not right. This is a country for solar and wind and all of those strong renewables, and we're just hoping, praying that he does the right thing.
Any last words?
Yeah, just on the thought of renewables, if you can't do it in Australia, you can't do it anywhere. And governments are just not doing enough, state and federal. It's really up to the federal government to lead this sort of thing, and for state governments to chip in and follow their lead. But I'm afraid it's not happening, and I'm disappointed.
Okay, I'm Neville, and I'm a grandparent. I'm 77, I've got 10 grandkids. Well, of course I'm interested in climate change. Of course I want to do something. So my intention is to work with all of us here, us grandparents, and we're going to cause a bit of a disruption. We're going to have a circle of love for our children, our grandchildren, and the world. And so we're going to sit down there and we're going to hold that, trying to get those politicians to change their ways and do something.
What was the moment that you changed about climate emergency that you decided that you needed to take this kind of action?
Yeah, it's a very good point. I've been looking at Extinction Rebellion for quite some time, and I've always thought, well, no, not really for me. I'm very law-abiding. But then when they went on a few marches and I saw, I think it was the students for all those kids marching that really got me in. I thought, if they're doing it, I've got to do something. Because I was one of the ones that caused this problem. So that's when I changed. And I was happy then to not exactly break the law, but at least go to the edge of the law in a very peaceful way. But that seemed to me the only way of getting our message across. And if grandparents are doing it, it sort of spreads the thing. It makes people realise we're not just a bunch of lunatics. We are genuine. We want something to happen. It must happen.
What is it that you want the Premier to know about the climate emergency? I mean, he's just appointed a environment minister and has a tag on climate action. What do you want the new minister to actually do?
Lots and lots and lots. I think it's fantastic that he has appointed that minister. I'm very worried. Western Australia is one of the greatest polluters of all our states. My personal opinion is, I think McGowan's done a great job, a good job, I'll say, on COVID. I think he could go down as a good premier. I think he could go down as a great premier if he takes his harder job of climate change on. If he moves in that direction, I think he'll be fantastic. So anything we can do to urge him in that direction, terrific.
Now, you are determined to be peaceful, but often in the past, there has been action by the police, which, you know, then gets aspersions cast on the protesters. How are you going to manage the police if they get a bit rough?
Okay, well, on the whole, they've very seldom been rough. There was one occasion that I can remember, but that was a fluke. It was a bad thing. We really have a very good relationship to the police. We respect them. I think they do a fantastic job. We are happy to be arrested, but we don't fight. We don't cause any trouble. We respect them, and I think they respect us. They're doing their job. We're doing our job. So I don't foresee any real getting rough tactics. It just very seldom happens.
Well, there are students and there are grandparents. What do you want the rest of us to do?
Do your own thing. We're all on the same side. We're all trying to do something about climate change. Each group comes from a slightly different direction. You people in the radio are doing a fantastic job. Just keep doing it. And I think we all each have our own individual role to play here. Collectively, we're going to make things happen.
Australian people want to make this decision. 80% of Australians want more action on climate change. Party politics isn't working. You know, it's a tiny majority is making decisions for all of us, and a tiny minority, really. And I want them to give the decision-making power to the people through people's assemblies. We'll hear the science. We'll make the decision in a very well-respected, scientific way of deliberative democracy. Let us do that now, please. That's what this moment in time requires.
Tonight, Extinction Rebellion has a talk at 6:30 p.m. at UWA at the Austin Lecture Theatre, entitled Heading for Extinction and What to Do About It. It's free. Speakers will share the latest climate science and offer solutions based on a study of successful social movements of the past. Organisers say people who attend will walk away with a clearer understanding of the unfolding climate emergency and what to do about it, and the next steps to get involved in Extinction Rebellion WA.
Your plan to get arrested today?
Well, we're grandparents, a close-knit circle of friends, and we plan to sit in a circle, linked up, demonstrating that close-knit relationship, and we dare anybody to try and break our circle of love.
Extinction Rebellion organisers have told us they will be working on a future action for September or October involving multiple days, occupying the CBD with thousands of people, all in a mass, non-violent movement for change. I'm Elizabeth Poe. Thanks to Adrienne Glamorgan and all the Extinction Rebellion rebels who spoke with him last week. You can catch two more XR interviews by hopping onto the RTRFM website to stream past programs and subscribe to Understory at all the usual podcast places. And listen in next week, same time, same planet, as there's always more to explore with Understory, radio for the planet.